So tonight's service is focused and geared around this evening, right, that we read about in Scripture, that we just kind of heard told from John's Gospel. Both it's the evening of the Last Supper, when the evening where Judas betrays Jesus and he's arrested. It's also the right before dinner when Jesus washes their feet, right? And this is a pretty iconic moment, one that I think most of us kind of are aware of or had heard of, whether you've been to this service before or not. And we kind of cram it all into this service, right? We have the washing of the feet that we'll do in just a little bit. We gather together and remember Jesus' Last Supper on this evening, you know, where we commemorate that. And then at the very end of the service, we depart in silence after kind of stripping the altar, taking all of the adornments and the candles and everything off, and leaving a kind of a very stark presentation for Good Friday as we go into the time when we remember Christ's crucifixion. And over the last few weeks, I've been talking, I mean, quite a bit about, not service in particular, but of just the way in which we engage one another in this world. A couple weeks ago, I talked specifically about this kind of conflict I had that lives within me, and that I think lives within a lot of us, about, you know, what we ought and ought not to do. Because I think as Christians, most of us probably, those of us who grew up in the church, were raised on some kind of moralism, right? Some kind of, you ought to do this, you ought not to do this. You should do this, you shouldn't do that. I remember having quite the framework of all the things I should and shouldn't do. And it was kind of constantly fluctuating, and it was different than the people around me, and I was always anxious about it. And if I wasn't anxious about it, I was so sure that I was right that I was kind of probably intolerable to most of the people around me. And in time, and part of what I talked about a couple of weeks ago is that I've come to move away from this idea of Christianity being kind of about right living or about behavior modification. I think our behaviors change, and I think the way in which we interact with each other absolutely change because of our lives following Jesus, because of the transformation that I believe is real in the Holy Spirit and through what Christ has done in his life, death, and resurrection. But I want to be clear that when I talk about that, and I should have clarified this probably a little bit better a couple weeks ago for those of you who are here, is that when I say I would encourage you not to kind of do things because you feel like you ought to do them, and is really to kind of search your heart for the things that God is placing in your heart to do, I offer that directly in connection with the way in which we have a sense of our identity, okay? There are things, like mundane things in this world that we just kind of have to do, right? If we want to eat, we probably have to work. You know, if we, you know, want to not live in squalor, we have to clean our house at least once in a while. There are just things we need to do, right? And that's not really what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, there are some things that are kind of drudgery. There are things that we don't want to do that we have to do. That's true. But the kind of stuff that I'm talking about and that I'm referencing when it comes to our lives as Christians and as followers of Jesus are the ways in which we feel like we ought to do something because it will make us better people. That's where the tension is. And this is hard, right? I just sat down and had a conversation with one of our parishioners who is just really struggling with a decision that they need to make about, you know, whether to kind of care for an aging parent, right? That's important work. There's a lot of conflict in that, right? I know plenty of people who need to devote an incredible amount of their energy to caring for an aging parent or relative, to care for, you know, the people that we love in our lives. And it doesn't always, it's not always super rewarding work, right? You know, it's not always something that just brings joy at all moments. And I think we live in this space of just being conflicted, right? Like, what do I do to make sense of this? Like, you know, you hear me saying, I want you to think about the things that you really feel called into, that you feel joy in, that you feel a connection with, and to try to get away from the things that we do just because we're supposed to do them. And then we have these very present things that kind of run afoul of that. I don't have a good answer for you. I've been thinking on this week a lot. I've been trying to like kind of just pray and think about it as I prepared for tonight. And I think it's just one of the places where I live in tension and I don't have a good answer. What I do know, and this isn't going to help us make a decision about what we ought or ought not to do, or what we should do or need to do, but the thing that still stands true, the thing that I am just convinced of, no matter which way I come at this question, is that our service and our life in this world is for one another. It's an emptying of ourselves in service to God and in service to those around us. And that is not always a pleasant thing. And that's okay. It doesn't have anything to do with how God sees you or who you are or what your value in this world is. Your value and your worth is set as priceless, as children of God. There is nothing that we do on this earth, whether holy or mundane, that changes the way God feels about us. And I guess what I have to offer is that I think there is this point where we are able to let go of the things that we feel we need to do because it will make us feel like we're better people, and where we're able to simply serve because it's part of who we are and what we need to do. And I can't draw that line in the sand for anyone, right? I can't tell you where that or how that works or at what point you kind of cross a line into something that is probably not very healthy or helpful for you. That's part of what we kind of work in and struggle in from the day to day. What we have is this command from Jesus to serve one another, right? And Jesus emulates this with this symbolic act of lowering himself to kind of the lowest place of servant before his disciples, right? They've come together to eat together, and Jesus comes and washes their feet, right? In a culture where you walk around in sandals all day and don't take baths on a daily basis, you can imagine your feet get pretty gross, pretty dirty, walking from place to place. And so it was often the tradition when you come into, as part of the hospitality of being welcomed into someone else's house, often a servant or someone, if this is someone that is, you know, of some kind of status or wealth, right, a servant would wash your feet or offer to wash your feet. And in this case, there is no servant, right? There is simply Jesus, the Lord and Master, who gets down on his knees, wraps a towel around himself, and washes the feet of the disciples. And you can tell how offensive this is, at least to Peter, who says, "You will never wash my feet, Lord." And of course, Peter not getting it. Jesus says, "You know, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any place in what we're doing." And so Peter kind of overcompensates and is like, "Well, then wash my head and my hands and everything as well," right? And I think that maybe gets at what I'm trying to describe is there's the way in which we give and receive that is simply just kind of a part of our humanity, a part of who we are and who we were created to be. And then there's the part in us that feels the need to overcompensate, that feels the need to prove that we really are good people, that needs to prove that we're the kind of people we've always in the back of our minds hoped and thought that we are. I know for me, some of the most kind of poignant moments where I have struggled is when I've kind of spent all of this time thinking of myself in this very positive way, you know, as someone who serves, as someone who cares for the people around me, and then something will happen where I'll just make a decision to not be as caring or to serve like I thought I would. And it's kind of a gut check moment for me. It doesn't happen all the time, but every once in a while I'm kind of like, oh. And I have to reconcile with the fact that I'm not who I thought I was. Or at least that's kind of how it translates in my mind. Like, what do I do now that I'm not the person that is always willing to kind of drop everything and help out? What do I do now that I realize that I'm the person who, even with the best of intentions, wanted to go and help this person that asked and needed help, and I just couldn't get myself together to go do it? What do I do with the fact that I'm not who I thought I was? I think it's into that space that our God comes and says, be at peace. Just relax. Take a breath. Because our value and our worth is not based on what we do. There will be times when you will have it in you to serve and to care and to do the things that need to be done. And there will be days when you just won't be able to do it. And what I believe the gospel offers to us is the opportunity to not feel like we need to beat ourselves up, or that we need to kind of like weigh ourselves down with guilt or anxiety or stress. In everything that we are, I am just convinced that what Christ has done, that we remember this week, right? His life, his death, his resurrection. It is to set us free. And when I say free to kind of do the things that are in our hearts to do, it's freedom to care for one another. It's freedom to love one another. It's freedom to serve one another. And what I have found is that as I go through life, it's a constant kind of balance and tension between my own selfishness and the things that I know I'm called to do. I don't always do the things I'm called to do. A lot of times my selfishness wins out and I just kind of look out for me. And in those places, I find God's forgiveness and I find God's love and reconciliation. I find a father that is ready to comfort and care for me and forgive me, not a stern taskmaster asking me and kind of like, you know, wrapping me on the wrist and asking me why I haven't done what I ought to do. And in my experience, it's that former, it's that caring, what's the word I'm looking for? The understanding of that God's disposition of me is one of care and of thoughtfulness and of forgiveness. I find in that the ability for the place of transformation. I find in that the strength to do it a little differently the next time. I'm not sure about you, but when I run into is like judgment and anxiety and shame, whether I'm doing that to myself or from somewhere outside, there is no power for transformation there. There is no power for change in that. It can get us to do something for a period of time, right? Shame and anxiety and stress and kind of heaping on a sense of obligation can get you a little ways, but it's never going to give you the opportunity to live and to serve in the freedom that our Lord has called us into. And I think that's where we kind of rub up and find the tension, is that we get to the kind of end of that. We get to the point of where we can no longer just push ourselves to do the right thing. And at that point, by the time we're there, we are exhausted. And we are burned out, and we are anxious, and we are stressed. And if you find yourself there tonight, or if you are aware of what that feels like, know that our God meets you there. That is the Christ that kneels at our feet and washes them, right? God is always ready to meet us where we are. God isn't going to stand behind you and wrap you on the knuckles and tell you to kind of try harder, to work harder. That's not the economy that we understand from the gospel and from the scriptures. What God does is invites us into new life. And sometimes that doesn't feel super great. Sometimes that's doing stuff we don't necessarily want to do. But out of love, we find the strength to do it. Out of acceptance, we find the strength to do it. At least that's been my experience. The shame and the guilt can only get me so far. But where God calls us into is a place that only love and freedom have the power to bring us. And so if any of you are kind of living in that tension and in that space of just feeling kind of overwhelmed by the things that you need to do, or by what you feel the world expects of you, or maybe your family or your friends expect of you, maybe of what you expect of yourself, if you're finding yourself just at a place of being worn out and exhausted, know that Christ meets you there. The things that you are doing that are stressing you out are good things, by and large. That's where the rub is, right? If they were terrible things, we could just walk away from it. But they're not. They're things that feel right. They're things that need to be done. They're things that are important to us. And just know in the mess of that space, our God is with you. That's what tonight is about. It's about being reminded that we are invited to this table, that we are invited to this basin where we have our feet washed and where we are nourished with the body and the blood of our Lord. Our strength is in sacrifice. Our life is in death. Our joy is in forgiveness and new life. Please be at peace. Please know that God loves you, and that's never going to change, and that God meets you where you are. And God is with you in that agony of feeling like there are things that you still need to do that you do not have the energy to do. And in the midst of that is where God meets us, is where the community gathers around you, and where we find, hopefully, new life. And if you're at the end of your rope, ask for help. There are people around that will support you. You don't need to be in any of this alone. That's kind of what this is about. So be at peace. Please come and receive the symbol of God's service to us. Try to breathe a little easier. Let go of some of the tension and the stress and the anxiety that we hold on to from day to day, from hour to hour. And try to rest in God's love and mercy this evening, this whole weekend as we go into Easter this Sunday, and in the weeks and months to come. Amen.